Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord, dear saints. Let's continue with the church in Sardis. Praise the Lord that he is speaking to us so clearly in these days. He is showing us what we need to go on in these days. And there's a development here. And we want to look at a diagram that we put together a few years ago. So I hope you can see it well. The part of the diagram that I'm covering, we'll talk about tomorrow, so should be okay. We made this diagram a few years ago to show the development of the churches as they are shown in the book of Revelation. And I think it's a help for us. And if we want to know what he wants to speak to us today, it's good also to look at the history. And we saw that there were lots of good beginnings. For example, in Acts, we see that the beginning of the church life was really good, but there was a development. And unfortunately, this was not a development that went upwards, but rather downwards. If you look at the left side of this diagram, you see Ephesus. It goes from the glorious condition in which they were in, and they began to decline. Why? Because they left the first love. And this was reason enough for the Lord to remove the lampstand. It was the beginning of a decline. And we see Smyrna. And then there's a steep decline with Pergamos, because the world was married, the church was married with the world. And this was a great, terrible thing. The world is the place where Satan dwells, where Satan's throne is, and the church is called out of the world and is the kingdom of God. And actually, they're fully contrary to one another. But the enemy, he succeeded through his strategies to mix the church with the world. And this was a true decline. But this was also not the low point. But the lowest point was in the church in Thyatira. In history, we see that it was the time of Roman Catholicism. It was really a low point. And it's even called the Dark Age, or the Dark Ages. It was really dark. And the church became something that you can't even describe with words. There were things sacrificed to idols, and there were many dark things. There was Jezebel, and the depths of Satan were there. Wow, if the depths of Satan were able to enter into the church, then it's really the lowest point. And it was good to see that Thyatira has a lot to do with us. We also need the Lord as the one who has eyes as a flame of fire and feet like fine brass. We need the Lord as the one who tests us, who searches us. And he has to be the one who speaks in the church, not Jezebel, not a false prophetess, and not man, but the Son of God. And today we're coming to Sardis. And it's good to see. Here you see in the diagram, Sardis is on the bottom. The line goes up a little bit, at least. It's good to see. And this shows us that God wants to restore the church. Praise the Lord for this. The time of Thyatira was 1,000 years of darkness. And he didn't leave his church in this condition. He still wants to have his glorious church. He won't give up his goal. And if Satan comes with all his craftiness and all his strategies to make the church fall, our God will never give up his goal. He wants to receive a glorious church. And at the time of Sardis, during this period, he began to restore this testimony. And so you see in the outline, Sardis means remnant or separated or renewed. Our God is a God who renews. He says very often, I make all things new. And starting from the 16th century, he began a great thing with Martin Luther. I think all of us know this name. With Martin Luther, he began to restore the churches. And the first thing that he did was to bring light into the darkness. And he made his word accessible again and opened up his word again. Satan's strategy was to close God's word so that no one would be able to read God's word. But at this time, God brought forth important truths in the word again. And this was really wonderful. It was the beginning of a restoration. Praise the Lord for the light. And if we look at history, we see that this beginning was also very good. The beginning is always good. If the Lord does something new, then it's fresh, it's living, it's powerful, and glorious. But unfortunately, as we see here in the diagram, this line concerning Sardis goes up, but it doesn't go completely. It doesn't ascend completely. And in history, we see that he started to restore and to renew, but the saints or the believers, they often came to a standstill. What he did was, it was really a step upwards. But still, it was just one step upwards. So you see this line at Sardis, it stayed at a certain stage. It started with what God did through Luther. And all the way until today, there's still this line from the Reformation all the way to countless churches, groups, divisions. There are really countless groups and innumerable groups. And what does this show us? This shows that God revealed something, but the believers came to a standstill. And the Lord said to the church in verse 1 that you have the name that you are alive, but you're dead. And then in verse 2, he says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. And this is an important part, for I have not found your works perfect before God. This is the crucial aspect, that they have the name that they are alive, but the Lord says their works are not perfect. And this is not good. But it's our history. The Lord began something new, began to do something wonderful, but the church in Sardis remained where they were and they stood still. And they had lots of works, but they were dead works. They were dead works. He says, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. So their works were dead religious works. And unfortunately, this is the condition of God's people today. And it's a danger in which we stand today. It happens quickly that what he shows us in a fresh and new and living way becomes something dead and religious. And then tradition comes in, oldness, and human opinions, human habits. And then the church just remains standing still. There are saints or believers that are still holding fast to Luther, someone who died 500 years ago. This is a tendency among us believers that we like to hold fast to the past, hold fast to what the Lord did before. And what's the result? The result is death. The life of the Lord always wants to grow. The Lord always wants to go on with us.
The Lord is not so, as we sometimes think, that he is statisch an einem Ort ist.
He's not at a place and stays there in a static way, but he is living. He moves. And the church should also be such a way. It should be full of life. At the beginning of the conference, we saw the golden lampstand. On the one hand, it's a lampstand, but on the other hand, it's a almond tree. And if we see that there are the blossoms and even the almonds there, and this lampstand is a living almond tree. And God really showed this to us to show us that the church has to be in resurrection. If he is the head in resurrection and full of life, then the church should have also this same nature and should also shine full of life, full of strength, full of resurrection. And it's terrible if the church then is like the church in Sardis. Maybe the name is okay and the name is right, because here he even says that they have the name that they are alive. The name might be good, but the question is, what's the condition like? With all the epistles, this is the decisive question. In what condition is the church? Before, it was so important for us to emphasize the church in XYZ place, the church in Stuttgart, the church in Karlsruhe. The name was good, but the question is, what kind of church is it? Oh, Lord. Yeah, for the Lord, it's really decisive in what condition the church is. If the church is dead, do you think the Lord is satisfied with that, even if the name is right, if the works are right, if the doctrine is right? What can the Lord do with a dead church? The church is the bride of the Lord. She's not just the golden lampstand, but she's also the bride of the Lord. What can he do with a dead bride? None of us would marry a dead bride. But when it concerns the church, we often don't have any sense for whether there's life or whether it's already dead. This is a serious matter. He says, you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. It doesn't matter, and it's not crucial what kind of name we have, but our condition is crucial. Of what use is a good name if we are dead? And we don't have a name, actually, but some call us the heavenly Jerusalem. Of what use is this name if we're neither heavenly nor Jerusalem? Then we can also forget this name. The name is not decisive, rather the condition. And if the church is already dead and has already come to a standstill, then it's really problematic. That's why we have to ask the Lord today, what does it look like with us? We don't need to look at others. There's enough to do if we look at ourselves. What's it like with us? How much life is in the church? How much resurrection life is in the church? Is it really an almond tree? Do you see the fullness of life among us? Are there glorious buds and blossoms and fruit among us? Or is it partially dead already? We really have to ask ourselves this question. the Lord. He's our glorious head. He's the living one. He even says that he is the resurrection and the life. And he came to give us life and to give us life abundantly. Abundantly. So we have to ask ourselves, what is it like with us today? Do we have life abundantly from the Lord, or are we just surviving, spiritually speaking? Oh, Lord, that's why Sardis has a lot to do with us. And what's related to this death is the standstill. He says not only are they dead, but their works were not found perfect before God. And this is not good. It's not good if the Lord is not yet, hasn't reached the goal with us, and we stop and we stand still, because then he can't go on with us. That's why the Lord introduces himself and presents himself as the one who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Praise the Lord. I think we have seen that we really need to see the Son of Man in Revelation 1. And he presents himself to every one of the churches as the one who has the exact trait and characteristic that the church needs. And the church in Sardis needs him the most as the one who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Why? Because it is the Spirit who gives life. In John 6:63, it says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. If the church has slipped into dead works and has stopped and stood still, then there's only one solution. We need the Lord who has the seven spirits of God, because the Spirit gives life. And in Revelation, there's this unique aspect that when he greets the seven churches, it's not just the Holy Spirit or the Spirit, but here it is the seven spirits of God. Praise the Lord. The seven spirits of God. That doesn't mean it's seven different spirits. It doesn't mean that the spirit is seven times stronger. No, this number seven shows perfection. It's a perfect number. God restored creation, this creation in 7 days. And then his work with creation was accomplished, was perfect. And in the seven churches, we see the fullness of all, the full development of the churches. And the seven spirits of God, they show the Holy Spirit and the rich supply of the Holy Spirit for our perfection. And this is what we need in the time of Revelation, in the time in which we're living today. This is wonderful. We should learn to enjoy this. He's not just the Holy Spirit, but he is the seven spirits of God. God doesn't want to just give us a little bit of the Spirit, that it's just suffices, but he wants to give us the full supply of the Holy Spirit. As Paul says in Philippians 1, the rich supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And this is what the church in Sardis needs. And the seven spirits already appear in Revelation 1:4, when all the seven churches are greeted. He says, grace from to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. The seven spirits already appear here, and they come up again here when the church in Sardis is addressed. Why? Because the church in Sardis was not yet perfected. And this is so important for us today. We want to be perfected. Yeah, we spoke so much in the last few years about his second coming and about perfection, and that we want to be brought to maturity. But we have to recognize that We're in danger also of becoming Sardis, that we would stay standing still, that life would decrease, gradually speaking, and it happens gradually. It doesn't happen from one day to the next, and life decreases. And then we're happy with what he has shown us before. And at the end, we're not hungry for more from the Lord. And the result is death and no perfection. So what do we need? We need the seven spirits of God. We need the full supply of the Spirit of the Lord to make us alive and to bring us to the goal all the way to perfection. And that's why it's good to see, where are these seven spirits? Revelation says that they are before the throne. They are exactly where we want to go. I hope we all have this vision in our hearts, that we would be the first fruits who would stand with the Lamb on Mount Zion and to be with him before the throne, and we would be counted worthy to rule with him. The throne is our goal. Our goal is nothing here on this earth. Our goal is the throne. Yeah, and these seven spirits are before the throne. That means today he wants to give us the full supply of the Spirit to bring us to the goal, bring us all the way to the throne. And in Revelation 4, we also see something concerning the seven spirits. Revelation 4, 5. It says, "And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God." Here we see another detail. These seven spirits are also seven lamps of fire. Praise the Lord, they give light, and they are burning. And this is what we need. This fire in us should never go out. It should burn continually. What did Paul say in Romans 12:11? Not lacking in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Amen. The Lord wants his church to be burning. This fire on the lampstand should always be burning. And we shouldn't be lagging in diligence. But how does this work? How does this function? Because we realize a lot of times that we become very sluggish and lagging in diligence. We need the seven spirits of God. We need the seven lamps of fire that are before the throne and saints. We should really be bold in our prayers and say, Lord, we want to have the seven spirits of God. Give us the full supply of your Spirit. Yeah, so that we can go on with you all the way until the goal. Let us not ask the Lord of too little. Let us not just ask for life and supply for ourselves that we would survive somehow, but we need the seven spirits of God. I was reminded of the example of Elijah and Elisha. And Elisha was the successor, the one who came after Elijah. And Elijah was a strong prophet. Someone whom God really used in a rich way, and he supplied him fully with his Spirit. And before he was taken, Elijah said to Elisha, "You can ask for one thing." 2 Kings 2:9. And I really like his Elisha's boldness. What would you have asked of Elijah? If I had been very bold, maybe I would have said, "Give me the same spirit that you had." If I were not so bold, I would have said, "Okay, give me half of your spirit." But Elisha had a good wish. He said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me.
Das ist gut, ja.
That's good.
Elisa hat erkannt, das war noch nicht die Spitze.
Yeah, Elisha realized that this was not yet the climax or the yeah. And some people think, okay, this was the highest point, this revelation that we have had. And this is where we can stay and we don't need anything else. But what did he say here? He said, give me a double portion of your spirit. And Elijah said, you have asked a hard thing. For Elijah, he already thought that this was a hard thing. But God gladly gave it to Elisha. And we should also have such boldness today. It's wonderful to see what he has done in history and to see what he has done among us, but it's not sufficient. It's not enough. The fact that he hasn't come back, this fact alone shows that his work has yet to be perfected. The seven spirits of God have yet to perfect his work. And so how can we just stop and stand still and be satisfied with what we have experienced already or experienced in the past? We shouldn't do this. We can't do this. We should tell the Lord with great boldness, Lord, give us the seven spirits of God. Don't just give us a little bit of life, but make us fully living, that the life would overflow in the churches. Yeah, let the fire in us increase. It shouldn't decrease, because through the seven spirits, it'll increase. May your lampstand burn brightly and shine brightly and really be an almond tree. Wouldn't this be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful if the church where we are today would be a golden almond tree? And all people who would come would taste the life because the life is there abundantly. And it would be wonderful, and it can be our reality if we know him as the seven spirits of God, and if we are not satisfied with what we have and don't stop and don't stand still and want more of the Lord. And that's why it's so important. It's so important what the Lord says in the Constitution. And this verse should always be in our hearts. Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Amen. If we're not poor in spirit and we're just so full and content and satisfied, then we cannot experience the seven spirits of God. But may he always give us to be poor in spirit, that we would have hunger to have more of him, that we wouldn't be satisfied with what he has done so far and what we've experienced so far. We want more of him. And this is the first sentence that Jesus spoke as he spoke about the kingdom of heaven. And this is the crux. This is, if we lose this being poor in spirit and this hunger, then we'll end up being like Sardis. And he'll say, okay, your works were good at the beginning, but were not found perfect before God. And then at the end, we'll also be dead. So let us ask the Lord that we would be poor in spirit and that we would really experience the seven spirits of God. And in Revelation 5:6, the last part also talks about the seven spirits. It says the Lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And we need this today as well. We need the seven horns and seven eyes. The seven horns show the full supply of his strength, that we can go on and be perfected. And the seven eyes are also very important. Yeah. Sent out into all the earth. The Lord has to show us where he's going. He has the seven eyes. I don't know how it should go on tomorrow, but the Lord has seven eyes. He knows the way for us. He knows the way we need to perfection. So we should also follow him wherever he goes. Let's read Revelation 14, verse 4.
Yeah, dort ist über die Erstlinge geschrieben.
Here it talks about the first fruits. These are the ones who are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb, and in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God. The characteristic of this of the first fruits is that they follow the Lamb wherever he goes. And this is how we have to be. The Lord is not as static as we think he is. Sometimes we may think, okay, this is the church and this is where I'm going to stay until the end of my life. As the Lord showed me the church at the beginning and really woke me up and stirred me up for Christ and the church. And I also told the Lord, I'm going to stay here regardless of what happens. I even told the Lord, even if they want to throw me out one day, I'm going to stay at the door and knock. But at one point, the Lord showed us that the church is not as static as we think it is. It's not a building where we remain there until the end of our lives. But the church has to follow the Lamb wherever he goes. If we want to be a glorious, living church that goes all the way until perfection, then we have to follow the Lamb wherever he goes. And if the Lamb goes forward and does something new and goes somewhere where we don't know or is something that's contrary to our habits and what we're used to, we still have to follow the Lamb wherever he goes. And it would be tragic if the Lamb goes somewhere and the church stays where it is. That can't happen to us. But we have experienced it. Many of us have. We were in a place where it was really good for a number of years, very living. The life of the Lord was there. The fire was there. The Spirit was there. But at some point in time, it started to decrease, and the Lord continued and showed us something new and spoke something new. And we experienced what it's like if we don't accept what the Lord shows us. And that's why we have to be poor in spirit. And inwardly, we always have to be ready for what he wants to do, because he says, behold, I make all things new. He is the branch. He always wants to do something new. The first fruits of whom we just read, they sing a new song before the throne. They're not singing an old song, but they're singing a new song. That means they're always open for the new things that he wanted to show them. Just like with the children of Israel, they weren't in the wilderness and stuck in one place or standing still in one place. They had the pillar of fire, pillar of cloud, and they knew that if they wanted to reach the goal, they had to follow the pillar of cloud and pillar of fire unconditionally. We also don't know what's going to happen tomorrow and what's going to happen next week. We don't know where the Lord still wants to go with us. But one thing we do know, if we want to reach the goal and if we want to be perfected, then we have to follow the Lamb wherever he goes. It doesn't matter where he goes. Yeah, but the main point is that we follow him wherever he goes. Otherwise, we'll end up like Sardis, that our works would not be found perfect before God.
Und wir sehen vor allem bei Paulus sehen wir.
And in Paul we see this attitude and this mind in so many of his epistles, that he always wanted to go on. In D1 we listed some verses that show us what kind of mind this brother had. Philippians 2:12 says, "Work out your own salvation until perfection." We can't stand still. We can't stop cooperating with him until we are perfected. And in Philippians 3, he says, I forget the things which are behind. The problem with Sardis is that they clung to what was what the past and they stood still. But Paul said, forgetting the things which are behind, forgetting all the time, even not just the bad things, but even the good things. What he did last year was very good. But I have to stretch forward, reach forward to the things which are before. If I only cling to what the Lord has shown in the past, that's not good. No, we should learn to forget the things which are behind and stretch forward to the things which are before and to pursue the Lord. And in Hebrews 5 and the verses that are here, we should come away from the elementary principles and let ourselves be brought to perfection, to maturity. All these verses show us what kind of mind we need to have so that we won't end up being like Sardis, but rather that the Lord can perfect us. If we look at the reward that he gives to the overcomers in Sardis, it's very precious. He emphasizes here the white garments. In verse 4, it says, you have a few names even in Sardis who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. And then the first reward comes. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord for the white garments. And what do the white garments remind us of? If not of the priestly service. The white garments are the garments that the priests received. If we read in Exodus 28, we see the priestly garments for the high priest and for the normal, so to say, normal priests. They were all clothed with white garments. And as the priests were consecrated at the time of the Old Covenant, the first thing that happened was that they were washed and they were clothed with white garments. It shows us, on the one hand, that the Lord is our righteousness. Through our baptism, we have put on Christ as our garment of righteousness. But it also shows that through this step, we have been made priests. And it's exactly this that's a trait of the overcomers in Sardis. This really has to show us something. Namely, that the priestly service is really the way that will lead us to perfection and would truly preserve us from standing still and from dying. And it's astonishing to see that this is exactly our own most recent history. As we were in danger of falling asleep and dying, what did he show us? The priestly service. He really showed us and offered us these white garments and said, okay, now it's time. I want to clothe you, and I will clothe you with white garments. And the Lord wanted to gain the church anew and awaken the church anew for the priestly service. But unfortunately, it became a reward just for a few. And this was tragic. But our experience was that if we take and accept this priestly service and say amen to it and live in it, and the Lord will be able to go on with us. Was this not our experience in the last 2 years? Didn't the Lord, through this priestly service, call us out and lead us onwards? It is too wonderful that it's exactly this, that this is the reward for the overcomers in Sardis. He says he will clothe them in white garments, and he wants them to walk. Yeah, walk with him in white. Praise the Lord. All of us believers have been made priests. And we see this in the book of Revelation multiple times. We have been made kings and priests. And the priests will also be those who rule with the Lord in the coming kingdom. But we also have to learn to walk with him in white. And this shows that the priestly service has to be our whole life. It's not something that we practice one time in a week, once a week, but it encompasses our whole life. If we live in the priestly service and go on in it, this is the best protection from becoming like Sardis. Let's look at the tabernacle briefly again. If we look at the tabernacle and look at all the services and instruments there, it'll be really clear to us that this is, on the one hand, the way to perfection and the best way also to be protected from death and protected from all standstill. And at the first station, you see the altar. And it was so wonderful this morning to hear all the offerings of the saints. And I think for the Father, it was really wonderful. There were so many short living offerings with the substance of Christ that were brought to the Father. And we as priests were able to enjoy as well. And it was really precious and glorious to see all the offerings, to see how the Lord is changing all the saints. And if we're open and say amen to this and say, I want to be a priest. I also want to be someone who brings you spiritual sacrifices week after week, the best thing that your son has done in me. And it's hard to stay standing still. Then you have to seek the Lord during the week. Otherwise, you have nothing on Sunday. It's my experience. If I live in a loose way during the week and I don't seek him every day, then I will stand there with empty hands. But the Lord says, you shall not appear empty-handed. The Lord has called all of us to be priests. And this first object shows us, the first instrument shows us that we should bring him sacrifices that are well-pleasing to him through Jesus Christ. And this is such a protection for us because we have to seek the Lord anew every week. If I want something fresh and new of Christ for my Father, then I have to keep moving. I can't bring the Father something from last year. It always has to be something fresh, something living, something real that the Lord worked in me. And this is so good. Sometimes it's a little bit of pressure, but it's good pressure that brings us to the Lord. And it is so encouraging to see how the Lord is changing all the saints. Changing all the saints who are walking in this priestly ministry. And not just the offerings at the feast, but it's also about the daily offerings, the continual burnt offering. And there has to be a perpetual burnt offering, morning and evening. And the reason for that is that the fire on the altar should never go out. And this is exactly what Sardis needs. These are the seven lamps of fire. The fire should never stop burning. If we daily take care of this, take care of the priestly service and seek the Lord, then it's good every morning when you get up to say, Lord, you are my continual burnt offering. I lean upon you for this new day to be burning in my spirit. Praise the Lord. He doesn't expect us to be burning ourselves, but he gives us the burnt offering that we can lean on it daily and burn daily. This is really wonderful. Let us learn also to walk in white garments. Yeah, let us really not stay standing still in the priestly ministry. I think we're practicing this word in the last 5 to 6 years, but we're not by far at the goal. Let's not stay standing still in the priestly service and thinking, okay, this is it. Now we've got it. Because then we'll end up being like Sardis. No, let us tell the Lord much more. I want to go on also in the priestly service. I want to learn more and more what it means to serve you as a priest. Let's all really get to know this service and the ministry more. This laver is the cleansing from all death. This is exactly what Sardis needs. If you have the name that you are alive but are dead, or if you're in danger of this, then it's good to have a bronze laver. And this is something that the priest had to use every day. And if we do this, to come to the Lord every day and say, Lord, I take from the water of life to be cleansed from the dust of this world and from death, this is so good. It will keep us fresh and living. And of course, if we go in, there's much more that is so healthy for us and that preserves us from falling asleep. We see the golden lampstand here. If you're occupied with this all the time, take care of this all the time. Also to pray for the saints, to take care of them practically, to have fellowship, to shepherd one another, to always pour in fresh oil. This is so healthy for us. Yeah, this will bring us onwards and save us from falling asleep and from dying. And also the showbread on the other side. It is so good. He always has fresh food prepared for us. If we're poor in spirit and always hungry for more, then on the right side here, there will always be fresh showbread for us to eat. The showbread here are not 5 years old. They're fresh and new. It's the healthy food of the Lord that he gives us continually. Oh, Lord Jesus, saints, let us really be hungry and thirsty for more all the time. Let us not be so content and satisfied. If we realize we're like this, then there's always a way to repent. Even to Sardis, he says, repent, repent. It is so good that we still have time to repent. So let us turn back today. Let us turn back from this attitude of being content. Let us repent and turn back from being dead and where we have become satisfied and content. Let us turn back to the Lord and come back to him as the one who has the seven spirits of God. Tell him, Lord, make us living. Go on with us. Go on with us until the goal. Yeah, and at the incense altar, this will also keep us awake and moving. Because this incense altar, namely the prayer for God's purpose, the Lord said to the disciples, what should they do to not enter into temptation and to fall asleep? He said, watch and pray. If I am occupied with the service of prayer every day to watch and pray, this will really, it's really healthy protection from falling asleep. Praise the Lord for all the priestly services. Of course, in the most holy place, it's even more glorious. So we just wanted to look at this again to see that the way to save us from becoming Sardis is to practice the priesthood. This is the way he has given us to be perfected. Praise the Lord for the white garments in Sardis. And if we continue in this and continue to go on with the Lord, and if we're faithful to do what he wants in the priesthood, then we will also be those who will rule with him at the end of Revelation 22. We say those who rule with him for 1,000 years, they are the priests and the kings. Praise the Lord for the priestly service. It is the best preparation for the kingdom and for the preparation of his second coming. And the rewards here have to do with this as well. He says he will not blot out their name from the book of life. Of course, we will never lose our eternal salvation, but you can lose the reward if you don't overcome. It's just a temporary blotting out from the book of life. In eternity, we are by the Lord, but the question is, do we also overcome? And will we receive the reward to rule with him in his kingdom? that he wouldn't have to blot out our name from the book of life. And the third reward is that he will confess our name before the Father, before his Father, and before his angels. When the Lord comes back to set up his kingdom here, those who overcome are those that whom the Lord will confess and will choose to rule with him. So praise the Lord, it is really worth it to overcome, and thank the Lord for the precious priestly ministry. Let us increase and grow in the priesthood. It is really a precious gift that he has given us. And for the Lord, the priesthood is very precious. And that's why he says, they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. For the Lord, the priesthood is so precious and, yeah, worthy. Yeah, let us go on unto perfection.